Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, one of my favorite people to talk to because you're always so logical and direct about things. Today we hear, as we speak, the president intends to close Guantanamo. I wonder what your reaction to that is.
Well, you know, I obviously haven't seen the plan, just heard that news yesterday and then again got that confirmed today. And, you know, I'm a big believer in rule of law, and I think our country does better when we stand up for our values around law, including making sure we're not torturing people, for example, making sure that we're following rule of law with everybody. So I've been supportive of finding a resolution to the situation with Guantanamo Bay. But, you know, we've got to do that in a way that provides the appropriate and correct assurance to the American people that anybody who's still being held in Guantanamo Bay is not going to pose a risk to the American people. So I think there are ways to do that. I think the Republicans have been wrong to say flat out no, there's absolutely no resolution possible. We need to keep these folks there in perpetuity. I don't think that's right. I think there are things we can do.
And some of those are, Elizabeth Esty?
Well, we've got to look at, are there other countries we can send them to? Are there, you know, who is left? And it's a pretty small number who's left. And given that, you know, the enormous resources that are being spent to keep them there. And again, frankly, I think rule of law matters. I really do. And this has been kind of a stain on our reputation internationally. Mm. And that has helped with recruitment, frankly, for the terrorists who hate us. So there are really important national security reasons to find a resolution other than where we are.
Obviously, the United States is now in rapprochement with Cuba itself. Could you tie these two things? You think that the president, in order to have his relationship improved with the country, with Cuba, might be saying, okay, we got to get out of there?
No, he's been saying this for a long time.
Sure.
I think that's not, if you look, both of those pieces have been part of what the president's been calling for a long time. And I certainly have believed since basically my entire adult life, we've had this, you know, this embargo against Cuba, and it just has not been effective. And I think there are real opportunities for constructive engagement there that benefits the U.S. and frankly helps move Cuba towards greater freedom and democracy, which is clearly what the people want. You know, that's what I hear from colleagues who have had the opportunity to go down and meet with folks. I think it's time, when your strategy is not working, it's time to make a change.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I'm delighted that this is happening. But I wonder whether or not the Castros themselves, or Raul in this case, the president, who very interestingly is not looking, appearing in fatigues with a long beard. He looks like a modern businessman in every picture that he's taking right now, whether or not they're willing to make some concessions in terms of, you know, some of the dictatorial aspects of what they do.
Well, I think certainly that's the hope and that's the desire in pushing this openness. Because, again, I think you look at, in part, what brought down the Soviet Union.
Yep.
Was, you know, the seeing what the alternatives are. I put the U.S. against anybody else. You know, when countries have an opportunity to see what this country's like and what the opportunities are when you have more freedom economically and politically, people choose it. I'm a big believer that American values and American way of life generally prevails. You know, maybe not immediately, but over time it does, which is, you know, woe to dictators and those who are trying to control social media and other things and paint a terrible picture of this country, because even with warts and all, we're still a lot better than any place else.
We are.
Regardless of what Donald Trump says. I just disagree with him strongly on many fronts about that. Which you may have heard recently. I'm going to do a deep dive into Jim Fallow's new piece in the Atlantic Monthly, really talking about all the really important, great things that are going on the community level around this country, sort of the Jeffersonian, you know, laboratory of the states, but really down on the local levels and mayors and what's happening in our communities. It's a whole lot better than what the sort of national narrative is out there. I think it's time for us to, you know, turn more optimistically towards the future, because I'm seeing it in a lot of pockets, but people need to start feeling it for us to be spending our energy in a positive way rather than a lot of hand-wringing or, worse yet, blaming and dividing, which is what we're seeing a lot of certainly on the campaign trail right now.
So tell me something that's been defying a lot of people. Why is Donald Trump so popular?
Well, a lot of people are feeling frustrated. You know, I think the growing economic inequality is making a lot of people frustrated. We're seeing that across the board. I think there are folks whose the rising tide did not lift their boats, contrary to the promises, which happened, basically the Republican promises for years, you know, lower taxes, yep. It's going to be better. So I really think a lot of this is sort of over-promising and under-delivering on the Republican side of what would happen with certain kinds of deregulation. That not happening has people really angry across the board, angry across the board. And he's giving voice to that. And I've seen that since last summer, so I'm not really surprised. But I think long-term, I'll tell you this. This country has never elected someone who is angry and as a bully as Donald Trump. Maybe Jackson, if you go back to that. But I think, you know, ultimately people are more optimistic, and I hope that people are talking about positive solutions, not just winning, but actually talking about how they're going to bring people together as opposed to divide people and blame somebody else behind the tree. Or somebody else across the border, or somebody else someplace, for why things are not perfect right now is not constructive. It really isn't. You know, I look for people who are going to be constructive problem solvers, and I think at the end of the day, that's what the American people are going to decide they want. I sure hope so.
You sound angry at him.
Well, I think it's stoking fear. Mm-hmm. I really do, and I hear that from people. Both people who are supportive, but I also hear from a lot of people who are worried, who feel demonized, who are concerned about that. I just had a Congress on Your Corner in New Britain a couple of days ago, and, you know, folks coming in, and I went to visit a mosque, went to services also a couple of weeks ago. People are feeling vulnerable. And this country's great strength has been, to a large extent, our openness and our forward lookingness and are saying, bring your poor, your huddled masses, come here, build a future together in this great country of freedom and respect for each other. And I don't want to see that lost. I don't want to see that lost. And there are times in this country we've seen fear and division, but it hasn't been our best moment. Our better moments have been, you know, more the FDR or the Churchill, which I'm not going to even try the English accent on that one, but I think fear can be a motivation to stand up strong and positively and united, or it can be very divisive. And I think the better choice is to go forward strongly but together, not strongly in a divisive way.
So we only have a minute, but you know, there is certainly some parallels between, I hate to say this, but Germany, when the Jews were it, and now the Muslims are it in this country, by a guy like Trump.
Well, I think we do need to be careful. We do need to be careful about that. Again, I really do believe that the strength of this country is best when we honor our aspirations about being respectful and being a haven and judging people on their individual actions, not lumping them into a group and demonizing or making judgments about people because of their race, because of their gender, their religion, or anything else. And people fought and died, came to this country for that principle. And I think it's time we stand up strongly and proudly for that, both in the United States in how we treat each other, but also around the world.
Our guest has been Congresswoman Elizabeth Estey, Democrat of Connecticut's 5th District, and I'm a great fan, so thank you so much for being with us. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about the death of Scalia.